Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
Devin, what you got for us today?
If at first you don't succeed, try again. Then quit. No use being a damn fool about it. I always good, simple and good.
Yeah, that's funny. Everyone knows the first part of that.
You don't, yeah. And then, you know, quit, because don't be a fool. If it's not for you, it's not for you. Right. I was thinking, took a lot of art classes in high school, just because they were fun and you know, I was decent at most art things I tried. Right. And it was just a nice class instead of some math. But I remember doing pottery.
Some math nonsense.
Some maths. Yeah, I wonder why I didn't go to college. throwing pottery.
Right.
Or turning it. Man, I could not get the hang of that. I tried and tried, and I was so bad at it, and it was such a disappointment. I was like, this will be great. I can't wait. And it was like I'd get like 2 inches high, and it would flop all over. I just could not figure it out.
Yeah, that's definitely. I did in high school. I did a like ceramics class, and I did a little bit of throwing. Then through a few small things, I did like a bell and a bowl, and you know, things that are, I would say, less than 6 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fine. You know, I could do it okay. You know, I have a good eye for aesthetic. You know, like a good creative eye, and I've a steady hand as well as an artist. But then, you know, when I went to college, I never actually took any ceramics classes in college, but I did spend a decent amount of time in the ceramic studio. So at MICA, where I went to college, Maryland Institute College of Art, all of the studios around the campus, all the different, you know, the different areas. So you've got like the metal welding and the ceramics and wood shop, and you've got all the like graphic design studios and the paint studios. All those places are open all the time, 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
They're always available for students to use. But there's only classes during the day up until 10 o'clock. There are studio classes that go from 8 hour studio. So like 2 to 10, or 6 hour studios, whatever, if I can't remember. But, so after 10 o'clock, all those spaces are open to be used to create artwork, but aren't being used by teachers or students actively like during a class. So we would go in the evening, especially my freshman year. I went down there quite often, and I would throw clay pots and stuff just for fun. I never ended up like keeping any of them. I would just kind of go down there, and we'd hang out and throw some clay and, you know, just to play with it, because it was fun. Mm-hmm. I did it in high school. And it's hard. It is not easy.
It really is.
You know, there's a level that, you know, I was pretty good at doing most basic shapes. I would say up to maybe 7 or 8 inches tall, you know, so within reason. Right. You know, I could do like little flower vases. I could do bowls and cups and, you know, whatever else. But when you get a big piece of clay and you start getting up into tall vases, like 12 inches, 15, 18 inches, you know, these big structures, that's so hard. And it's such a delicate process. And I mean, it's funny, I'm a big guy, you know, 6 feet tall, like 225, 250, in college. And going to an art school, there was mostly like little art kids, smaller art people. There were a few of us that were big guys, but, there was another big guy. His name was Chris, and he was a ceramicist. That's like what his main focus was throughout his tenure at MICA. I just remember him being down there, and he was, like, He was as tall as I was. He might have been 6 feet or 6'1", something like that. But he was all muscle. He was a high school football player.
Hmm.
Big muscle dude. He would go to the gym all the time. So you imagine this big guy. He had a, like, mostly shaved head. So he just kind of looks like a biker. But he's then there in the ceramic studio, like, just doing these super delicate motions, you know, with his hands down inside this big. He create these, like, tall structures. It's beautiful. Just, you could tell he was, like, super gentle with his hands. He knew how to move them, get that fluid motion.
A ceramicist. That's what they're called?
Yeah, ceramicist. If he's making ceramics. Like
not like a... I guess you couldn't call him a ceramic.
Like a ceramic artist.
I know what it is, but I'm saying, right. Like, I would think it would be, I don't know.
A ceramicist. Yeah,
Ceramici.
Many ceramicists.
That's right, the plural of ceramicist.
Ceramici.
Ceramici.
He's a cool dude. He did some great stuff. But yeah, throwing clay is not easy once you get up above a certain height. You know, things just wobble all over the place. And
it's one of those classic things that when people do it well, it looks so easy.
Yeah, right.
Right, and then when you start trying, you're like, this is rough.
I could do that. It's great. Nice and easy. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, watching good knife smiths like forge out blades. They're just just hammer it, you know, and like put a perfect point on and then a preform and then the bevels, and it's like done. And then you try to do it. It is not easy. It definitely takes a lot of practice. But, you know, like anything, some people have a natural talent for it. Some people just have the knack.
Yeah.
You know, Chris, I'm sure he did some ceramics in high school, but it's not like he was, you know, this is our freshman year that he began and he was good then. So he definitely had the eye for it and the knack for it to be able to do well.
Right. That I think that's an interesting conversation. When do you start to give up on, like, a new hobby?
Right.
I mean, should you or I mean, everyone, I guess, should at a certain point, maybe a certain amount of money or time where you're no good at it. And when do you go, okay, well, maybe I might not be good at it yet. And someone else could be good at it after they try 3 times, and then they really get something good. Like, you know, you see first-time knife makers on Instagram or whatever, and their first couple can be really good. And some people, it can be trash for a while.
Right.
Like, really basic-looking stuff, and they might not just have the eye for it, the aesthetic eye. So where's that, again, that crossing point?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a tough thing. It's a tough pill to swallow, the fact that you might not be good at something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, you know, I mean, a lot of things in my life have, I wouldn't say come easily, but I guess there are several things. Like, I was always pretty decent at sports. You know, I was a good artist. I was pretty smart, so I was pretty good with my classes. You know, I think I'm a fairly decent writer. I think I'm a good father. You know, so like, but there have definitely been some things that, you know, I'll try something, and it's just something drums. Like, I love the idea of being able to play the drums, but I cannot play the drums. I cannot, like, I can hold a beat, but I cannot do it with both my hands and both my feet at the same time. I just can't do it. Like, and some people it just happens perfectly. Yeah. They sit down, oh, okay, yeah, they get it, right? All four of those things, all four of those appendages work together. I can get my hands to work together. Like I said, I have pretty good tempo and rhythm, but hands and feet.
You can play a bongo, but a drum set's a whole nother
exactly
thing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think I had the same realization. I learned a couple little simple drum things, and, you know, other than that, man, is the most underrated part of any band, I think. A good drummer.
Good drummer. And, you know, something like we have, our family's fairly musical musicians, and, you know, you picked up guitar and came fairly natural to you to a certain extent, you know, much more than it did to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I like playing guitar, and I can remember the chords, and, you know, I can play songs, but it doesn't come as natural as it does, like, as it does to you, and then as it does to, like, our buddy Matt Brown, who we had on the podcast.
Levels,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
I remember, I guess it was when I was learning to play guitar, a bunch of my friends were at the same time also.
Right.
And a couple of the friends, we were also learning to skateboard. You know, it's around that time.
Right.
13, 14, 15. And they were always so much better than I was. Like, I could ride, but that was about it. Right, I wasn't ollieing up and down off curbs.
Right.
Like they were, which was always, I was so jealous of. You know, they could just keep moving. I would have to jump off. get back on my skateboard. They're just whoosh, right into it. Right. Man, it's so cool. But then I started playing guitar and I just blew it past them. I was so happy.
You're like, haha.
Okay, yes. I got something.
Girls like this better anyway.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that's I think that's like you said, that is a good conversation. Like, how far you push yourself in a certain direction?
And is there a time that you can tell someone else to give up? Right. Or would they use that? I mean, it's like, look, I'm not trying to be a dick here, but you can't really. If they're a good friend, you can make fun of them a little bit and hopefully they get the hint. But you can't just say stop your hobby.
Because really, you know, we all really do have the ability to do whatever we want if we have the dedication to put the time into it.
Well, not really, though.
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, right?
You know, you might not
be the best knife maker. You might not be the best guitarist. You might not be the best, you know, soccer player. But if you put the time and effort into it, you can probably be good enough to, you know, feel comfortable with your own hobbies or whatever it is.
Maybe, but some things you just, like, if you can't sing, you can't sing.
Yeah, I guess so.
You could get to an okay point. I mean, that's a very special, like, that's a very standalone thing, I think, but.
Yeah, that is.
Or maybe if you're not funny, you're never going to be funny. I mean, someone could teach you jokes. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like the Borat thing. You're going to go to a joke guy and learn where and when to say not.
Like, I don't know though. I mean, I feel like, you know, I feel like you could have someone who's good at it teach you, give you those things to be able to do.
You don't think you should ever say, like,
I think
maybe
that,
try, like, this isn't your.
No, I definitely think that,
like, for me,
there's a time and place for that.
I mean, that's a great thing about a teacher. They can, I mean, they're not supposed to shut kids down, but they can move them along to something else.
Right.
And like, pottery's not your thing. You were great at the charcoal project that we did a month ago.
Right.
So the next thing we're going to do is do a little bit more charcoal. I'll teach you some more things and we'll go that direction.
Right. And I think, I think that there is a time and a place for that to help someone focus on something that they are good at.
Yeah.
And to try to push that skill. But if someone, you know, if one of my students came to me and was like, I want to, you know, be the best, you know, model builder I could be. And, you know, they're struggling just with, like, cutting, you know, cardboard or something with a X-Acto knife.
Right.
And everyone else is just excelling around them. And if they really want to do that, then I'll give them the tools to do it and keep pushing them.
Yeah.
But when they're like, oh, let me try these different things. And I see that, okay, you're definitely good at this over here. So let's try more of this. Or if you don't really want to focus on this, then maybe how can you redo what you're doing on this side over here, this other skill, and build that up in a way that, that highlights what you are good at.
Mm.
So something like, you know, if I wanted to be a drummer, maybe I would, work more on, maybe I'd have like a single foot pedal or something, or like, you know, build your way up to it.
Yeah. Right.
So I feel like you could learn the skills and you can focus on what you're good at inside of that skill.
And also you might just need a different approach or type of teacher.
Right.
Because sometimes there's people that give you a few tips and it just, the light turns on.
Right.
Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, right. And they're like, yeah, you've been doing this the whole time. That's not how to do it. And you go, oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, that makes sense now.
Right. Yeah.
My wife, she, I guess in middle school, when you finally get to pick your instrument for band, she wanted to play drums. And the teacher said, girls don't play drums. And so she played clarinet. I was like, really?
Dang.
That still goes on? I mean, I guess that was back in the early 90s, but you think like, you hear, like, you know, it's like a movie thing, like, girls will never do this, or you can't do it, you know, but usually music teachers are like, sure, you want to do it?
Especially when you're in middle school, or you're like just starting out, like, whatever you want to do.
And I'm sure the teacher didn't have many female drummers anyway, because you usually don't see girl drummers.
Right.
So I feel like that would have excited the music teacher, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sure, you want to do, okay.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And then you get to, as a teacher, you're like, cool. You know, you get to try something that's not in your normal avenue of expertise. You know?
Right, you're not just trying to play the flute or the clarinet like the girls usually seem to flock to.
Right.
So that right, was
weird. Has a, like a, so she, you know, element of like dainty, you know, there's like, yeah, oh, this right. is what, you know, you should be doing in the big, like banging. Yeah. That's what, yeah. yeah.
But that's she's still bitter about that.
I'm like, Meg White.
And I'm angry. Point. I was like, we could have like a drummer in the family.
Yeah, right, man. How awesome would that have been?
now we can't even find her clarinet. I think her parents sold it.
So you're going to jam with her, like you're on guitar and she's on clarinet.
All jazzy.
Nice. That'd be sweet. Some
big band.
Heck yeah. I think that's what our parents always just hoped that we would have done, was that, you know, because both our parents are very musical and they have both been in bands over the years, and you know, they just kept having kids because they're like, all right, if we have enough kids, we can have our own family band.
Pushing us into, I mean, we should have had right. like a violin or fiddle player and someone on a mandolin.
Yeah.
I was thinking more bluegrassy, but okay, we could have been handsome.
Yeah, right. Yonder Mountain String Band.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a banjo, but no, we all play guitar, so.
I know, right?
That's fine, too. Like,
guitar's cool.
So I have a quiz for you, Dustin.
Oh, wow.
But before, actually, it's not a quiz. I guess it's just a series of questions. Before we do, I wanted to, we usually have a couple drinks on the podcast, and I have, I found something. I picked up some kind of lemonade-y drinks for my wife. She wanted those, and I was like, you know what? I think a lemonade drink would be good for me. And then I saw this thing, Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey. Their Tennessee Honey whiskey is pretty good. You know, it's like one of their flavored whiskeys now. But it has whiskey, honey, and lemonade. That sounds pretty good. And I got it. And I don't know why what I was thinking it would taste like. But it tastes exactly like Jack Daniel's honey and lemonade. Like, that's exactly what it tastes like. I was like, wait. And I was like, yes, that's exactly what it is. No big surprise there.
That's great. Tennessee honey. Honey and lemonade.
And it says what's in it.
Yeah, right.
Jack Daniel's Tennessee honey and lemonade. And it's like if I would have took a can of lemonade and put some Tennessee honey whiskey in it, that's what it would be. But it's good.
That's what I have. Was it more expensive than their regular?
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, yeah. I probably could have bought a bottle of Jack and some lemonade, and not for the same price, but I definitely right. could have gone a lot farther because they come in 4-packs too.
Right.
So they're kind of expensive, but oh well.
So is it like a can of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, okay. I thought it was like a bottle, like a flavored whiskey. That
you're drinking. No. It's no, okay. It's like a. It's like a lemon.
Self,
you know,
a single serve. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right on. Cool. Yeah,
it's not bad.
Well, I am drinking. I have two different beers. I got the Fat Tire mix pack. Mm-hmm. So New Belgium, and I'm drinking Accumulation, which is their White India Pale Ale, a little winter scene on it with a little Airstream trailer covered in snow.
Good pack.
Yeah, Accumulation is good. Yeah, I had the other day, two nights ago, I think I just went in the fridge and I grabbed, I reached inside the mix pack and opened it up, and it was a little bit later in the evening. I hadn't had a beer yet. But I kind of finished up what I was doing. I just started to sit down, have a beer, and I opened it up and just took a swig with, in my mind, just expecting just normal beer taste, you know, like any normal beer, whatever, just a standard, whatever. I mean, and I drink almost all craft beer. So I'm always drinking IPAs and, you know, pale ale and, you know, like Belgians and stuff. So yeah. I have that level, you know, like a strong taste, but so I just took a swig of Voodoo Ranger, and it was so good. It was like, it wasn't what my mind was expecting. And I was just like, I was blown away. I was like, oh, that's such a good, like, it's kind of like what I needed at that moment, but I didn't know I needed it. You know, I was like,
yeah,
took that sip, right. But I was kind of just like, you know, not really paying attention, grabbed the beer, opened it. And I was kind of walking back in the living room and just took a swig, and I was like, oh man, that is a good beer.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I guess subtle differences in like IPAs and hoppy stuff. And like you said, stuff you're kind of expecting, but sometimes they really put flavor, extra flavor into it.
Yeah. And I don't know what it was about that one. Like, I don't know if I was just expecting it just to be a regular IPA because of Voodoo Ranger is an IPA from New Belgium, but it was something about it. Just like, it was different than what I was thinking. And it was really good at that
moment. Like, it's like when someone hands you a sour after you've been drinking everything else, you're like, whoa,
baby,
what is this? Say now.
The other beer that I have that I haven't opened yet, but I will during the podcast, is Flying Dog Bloodline Blood Orange Ale.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
Yeah, I think it's 9% or something.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
She's a strong girl. 8%.
There you go.
But yeah, good beers.
All right. Well, cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
All right. I'm going to... I was thinking of doing a quiz or a test or something, but I thought this one would be fun. And you don't have any preparation.
No.
So if you have to take an extra second, but try to just answer what comes to mind.
Okay.
This is the James Lipton Inside the Actor's Studio questions he did at the end of all his interviews with actors, if you've ever seen that show. And actually, it's apparently came from a French series originally, but who knew?
Yeah.
So, James Lipton. all right, here we go. It's 10 questions. Number one, what's your favorite word?
Man, I don't know. I've never thought about that.
I'll say, what's a favorite word? We'll go there.
What's a favorite word? How about... I like the word dig for like when you're excited about something. Yeah.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it. You know, a guy that I knew when I was in college, he used it occasionally, kind of brought it back around. I was like, that's a good word. You got to start using
it. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Dig. I like that. You know, it's like when I use it, I feel cool. You know?
Yeah, I do like hearing a word like that and you tell him like, I'm using that.
Yeah.
I'm start using that.
Yeah. I think when you were in high school, I think we started using son of a bitch again.
Yes.
That was good. You're like, son of a bitch. Yeah. It was a good, good curse that, you know, kind of fell out of fashion. So we brought that back around. That was fun.
What's your least favorite word?
It's hard. Like I have all these like gross associations with weird stuff that I don't want to like sound gross. Like period, you know. Like,
all right, period. We'll take it.
It's a pretty good. That's, yeah, I'm just not a fan of that one. Oh,
here we go. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally? That's so broad. That's such a broad question.
I think seeing other people's work. Seeing other people passionate about their work, that really it excites me creatively.
Mm-hmm.
When someone's really excited and passionate about what they do, I can't help but get, you know, excited and passionate about it as well.
No, that's a good one. All right, we'll keep going. Yeah. What turns you off?
I guess like closed-mindedness.
The word period.
Period.
Closed-mindedness. Yeah.
Yeah. People aren't willing to like budge.
Yeah. Too stuck on whatever their ideas. They're right. They don't want to change. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite curse word?
I think I might have to go back to son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I always like throwing curse words into conversation when it's not 100% necessary, but especially around my wife, because then it shocks her.
Yeah.
She's like, watch your mouth. She'll say, I'll just like throw it in, you know, when it's like, you know, it might be in a situation where I'm excited about something. So instead of just being like, oh, that's so awesome, be like, that is fucking cool, you know? Like,
right.
Whoa. Just to throw it into shocker. She's like,
Yeah.
I think son of a bitch is good. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's a fun thing with your, I guess, wife or significant other. You can always push it.
Right, yeah.
With them. No one else has to hear it. You can say some real inappropriate stuff.
Right, exactly. Get a rise out of them.
That's right. Shock them a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
Number six, what sound or noise do you love?
There's this noise that my wife and daughter both make. It's when I'm telling a story or telling a joke and I'm about to get to the punchline and they know it's coming And so they're waiting for me. They're like, they don't want to laugh yet because they don't want to laugh over the punchline. But they're like about to laugh and they go, they make this kind of like, it's coming out of their mouth because they're like holding back the laugh. And then like, and then as soon as I'm done, they'll laugh and they both do it. It's really cute. So fun. It's like, I noticed it in my wife, you know, long before our daughter was born, while we were dating and while we were, you know, married. And now my daughter does it too, which is just really cute. I love it. And I pointed out all the time. They're always like, like making this little, like,
just gonna stop. Like, ah, never mind.
Just, yeah, right.
Let me hang.
I think a lot of people do it, but I notice it from both of them, and I love that noise. It's cute.
Yeah. What sound or noise do you hate?
Any unknown noise from my vehicle. Like, if something doesn't sound right, I notice it right away in the vehicle. I'm like, why is that? That doesn't sound right. Something, because I know then it's like that noise means money flying out of my pocket.
Right.
Like, I hate that. Yeah, I hear something weird, and you know, a lot of times, like with my truck, is different. You know, my truck is old, so it's always making weird noises, and you know, I usually know how to fix it. Like, it's run out of oil, or you know,
right.
Or who knows? You know, there's
mysterious.
Yeah, there's something
clunk.
Right, exactly. But yeah, it's just that, those noises when I'm driving down the road, and I almost always have music on when I'm, or podcast or something when I'm driving.
Yeah.
But you know, it's bad when I notice it over the music or over the podcast. I'm like, wait, what's that? Shit, start turning stuff down and start noticing things. Just starts getting all angry and hot.
Yeah. All right. Number 8. There we go. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I always thought it would be awesome to be a park ranger. Yeah, just to be like out in the woods and clearing trails and maintaining the land and, you know, teaching people and stuff. It's kind of close. I mean, not exactly different than what I do now, but you know, that just more in that mindset.
Yeah, I thought that'd be cool too. I almost tried to do something like that. A girl I knew, I don't know, knew her in high school, and then after for a bit, she became a park ranger. I thought that was awesome, and I talked to her for a little bit about maybe what I got to do, but I don't think I would like to do it, but I don't think I have the drive or maybe even ability to study that much, and because you do have to learn a lot,
right?
It's not just having fun and clearing wood, you know. You have to learn laws and procedures, and there's a lot of stuff to go over. I mean, it's such a broad thing,
right? Exactly. It's a park ranger is a position of, you know, law enforcement for the parks. So there is all that you have to learn about as well. Yeah.
I just thought, all that studying, that does not seem like fun. The actual being a ranger.
Right. Yeah. Maybe I'll just be like Daniel Boone.
Maybe I'll just maybe just be someone gives you a cabin and you're the steward of a patch of land.
Yeah. Hell yeah. There you go.
You don't need
to take care of this land and this like old cabin or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you spend a season there.
Yeah.
And you learn as you go.
Yeah, like camp hosts at campgrounds, you know. They're just there to like kind of clean up the sites a little bit and chat with people and hang out.
Right,
and camping out.
I think there was I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was Jack Kerouac or something. Someone had a book where that's what they did for a summer or a winter.
Right.
And they stayed in the cabin up in like upstate New York and they watched this area of land.
Huh. Was it just part of the book? I'm wondering if that was like on the road or something.
No. It was like the whole book.
Oh, okay.
It was that was his, someone like Jack Kerouac, someone who's done a bunch of these weird jobs or.
Right.
Maybe it was, no, it wasn't. I don't know. I forget.
Someone listening is like yelling at the
yeah,
the yeah, radio right now. It's this person, you idiot. Yeah. I always do that. And my wife, she listens to the Lexitecture podcast, which is all about words and their the etymology, the history behind the word and stuff and where it came from. And she always does it. She's like talking to the, she's like, ah, she'll like try to say stuff before they say it, you know. She really loves that stuff and is good at it. She's like, yeah. I know the history of that word, blah 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 blah.
Maybe it was, I don't think it was Big Sur from Jack Kerouac. That was the West Coast.
Yeah, Big Sur's West Coast.
Who knows? All right. Sorry, folks. That's a good one, whatever it is.
Yeah, find that. That's your
right. But after reading that, that was always a cool thing. In my brain, in the back of my brain, like, oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Okay, moving on. I think we only get two left here.
All right.
What profession would you not like to do?
I would not like to be in politics. Ever.
Yeah, it's grimy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, and more power to the people who can do it and do it well, or, you know, try to do it well.
I guess. But, I guess. And
it, you know, it's one of those jobs that, you know, it's a job. Somebody needs to do it. But
yeah. But, and then the thing is, with the higher you go in politics, the dirtier you become.
Yeah.
It's just right. Natural. It's not necessarily, they're not all aiming for it, but right. You collect. You start to owe people things and you collect donators and you start feeling, it starts innocent. Like, hey, you're helping me out. I'll help you out. But eventually that's just people putting money in your pocket for things they want to. It's just you don't get very high, like close local government. I think you can still have really good politicians that still have another job, you know?
Yeah.
They still do their other job. They're on a council or something. But once you get high, you know, I agree. Oof. And, you know, you're not, maybe 50% of the people like you, the other will hate you. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's too divisive, you know, just politics in general are so divisive. And you can't, you know, I don't think you can be a politician without having, like, very one-sided point of views, you know, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, because that's what people like. Like, oh, they know exactly what they want.
Right.
You can't give gray answers to all these things and people want yes or no.
Right, exactly.
Do you believe in this or yes or no? It's like, you know, it depends. You can't, you yeah, don't want exactly. that.
Yeah.
They right. want someone yeah, to go, that is totally not, I would never, ever, and anyone who does is blah, 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 blah.
Right, right, ugh. Exactly.
It's so icky. It's,
yeah.
That's a good yeah. one. I agree.
I think that might be like a common answer with a lot of people. You know, kids when grow up, they're like, I want to be the president of the United States. Well, you know, that's what you think, right? Because you like, it seems like a glorious position, but no way.
No,
yeah.
I like the idea that you can get there if you want. That's a good message.
Yep.
But then usually by the time you learn that you wouldn't want to.
right.
Ooh,
thank you.
All right. Oh, this one, that's, yeah. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I think, well, so I'll answer this with a story.
Hmm.
When I was in elementary school, I had a dream, and it's a vivid dream, and it's still vivid to this day. And I know it was when I was in elementary school. It's because when we lived at our house on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
In the dream, I was in my room, which at the time was up in the attic. There were two bedrooms in the attic, as well as our toy room, which is a whole nother story. and I was in my room, and I think I got out of bed, or maybe I walked into my room, and Jesus was sitting on my bed, and it shocked me, and I was like completely full of emotion, and I started to cry, and I like kneeled down in front of him, and I like cried, like put my head on his lap, and I was crying. And he just like put his hand on my back and was just kind of like, you know, consoling me. He's like, it's okay. It's okay. You know, it's like, and that's all it was. And I like woke up out of that dream.
Mm.
And that was a very, very like, it's obviously an important dream in my life because, you know, I'm a Christian now and, you know, I definitely believe in heaven and so maybe, you know, because of that story, I think maybe that would be what I'd want him to say. Like, it's okay with kind of the meaning of like, you did the best you could, you know, that like there, you know, I think all of us think that we hope we do better than we, you know, than what we've done in our life. Like there's always this kind of, you look back and you're like, oh, what could I have done? What could I have done better?
Mm.
And that's a tough like pill to swallow that you, there's things that you think you could have done better. So I feel right. like if you get to heaven and God's there and he says, it's okay. Like kind of like you did a good job. Like you did what you could do and you honored me the best you could. You know, kind of that, like, I'm proud of you. It's okay. You know, right. like someone to console you when you know that you feel guilty about maybe not doing all that you could have done.
Yeah. And
so, here we go.
Like I threw a lot of crazy things at you. Okay. Yeah. Sorry about this and that.
Right. Exactly.
Like, look, I got some questions.
Yeah. I know. After all that, then when I'm done, I'm like, all right, now. Why did this person make it? You know, who's
there's,
this? Why
there's a couple things person? Not okay with what you did down there. All right, I'm going to let you know about them.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I know what you did with this person on this day.
Yeah.
And you and your buddy did this in middle school. And yeah, that was on the tally board.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's the 10, James.
That's good.
Lipton questions.
Did he ask all of those?
Yeah,
all of those,
yeah. Like, at the end, that was his wrap up. So there's some really good ones. There's comedians like Chappelle, and I mean everyone's been on there. That's like has ever, I feel like ever, yeah, any big actor has been on there. So check that out if you guys want to go down a YouTube rabbit hole.
Yeah,
just a classic interviewer. I think what Will Ferrell did, the James Lipton, like he did his impression. Which I think made them more popular after that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like Harry Carey made him more popular. Just right.
Yeah, if you didn't know if you weren't watching the Cubs, you wouldn't know.
Right.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's that.
Nice. Cool. All right, what have you been up to, Dev? What's been going on this last week since our New Year's podcast, which actually we recorded quite a while ago?
Yeah. Been cleaning up the house, doing the kind of slightly... depressing part of taking down all the Christmas stuff.
I was going to say, yeah, is that like post-Christmas decoration?
Yeah, it's a
stuff?
Pain in the butt, and it sucks because you're taking down all this decoration. But we did it all, I guess, I don't know, relatively quickly, but we did that all today.
Okay.
Been working, starting on the, I don't know if we talked about the Chinese... leather sewing machine.
Yeah.
Started working on that, getting the intro in and...
Yeah, what a headache.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I'm excited to get that machine up and running well, but yeah. I think it's going to take some love.
And yeah. Finally got the new camera.
Oh, yeah.
The Panasonic Lumix S5.
Nice.
No, it's great. Feels real good. It's definitely heavier than the... Nikon, but the Nikon was a cheaper, more plastic, you know, it's just cheaper all over.
Right.
And I was thinking of the the way we look at what we should spend on things. Like we were grocery shopping today and I think there was, you know, you look at like the milk, you got like the name, not name brand, but the big brand milk, and then you have whatever's local, right?
Yeah.
Rutter's or Giant or any. And then you usually go for that. But if a gallon of milk is like $4, you kind of scoff at it. Like, are you kidding me? Like, there's no way I'm going to spend a dollar more or whatever it is, $1.50. But then the same thing last night, I'm just buying camera gear, filling it up in my Amazon cart. It just comes out to hundreds of dollars of extra bits that you need. And you don't think about it. Like, oh, that's just how much it costs.
Right, exactly.
But if yogurt is like $2, I'll freak out. I can't believe this. I would like, never pay for this. I would never pay 75 cents extra for this thing.
I'm like, recently bought
$86 for a battery? Okay.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds about right. Right. I know, we always joke about that in sailing. Like if it's something that's designed and made for a sailboat, it's 100 times more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if it's something that's designed for a wedding, right? The wedding things are more expensive.
Oh my gosh, right. That was the trick doing the wedding was not saying that you had a wedding.
Right.
But everyone knew if you were planning for anything over 30 people, it's a wedding.
I know. What are you doing?
Everything's set up, every restaurant, like the second you wanted more than a number or any venue, they knew.
Yep. Oh, it's a wedding.
If it's over 30 people, you just call us up and we'll shock you with some numbers.
Funny about the grocery store, I recently bought Lee and Perrin's Worcestershire sauce. So like mm-hmm. the good stuff wrapped in paper in the bottle. And I was at the grocery store to get some Worcestershire sauce. And there was like the store brand, you know, for $2.99. And then there was the middle brand for like $3. And then there was like the Lee and Perrin's for like $3.50.
Right. You know? And you probably stood there for a minute and tried and like $4. Couldn't decide.
I did, yeah.
You're like, I don't know.
Should I get it? Should I pay the extra buck? You know, this is like Worcestershire sauce. This is going to last us
a dollar more, bucks, you know? And I'll have this for 6 years.
I was like, I don't know if I'm buying the good stuff.
I don't know if we can swing it this month.
Nicole just pulled it out of the fridge the other day. She's like, ooh, Lee and Perrin's, eh? I was like, all right, take it easy.
Yeah, it's like when you're buying Q-tips, just buy the brand. Right, buy the main brand. Because then you're going to have all types of cotton in your ear, and you have them for about 3 years. Just, come on, pay the extra $2.
Right.
So, man, all that camera stuff. I mean, once you start going more expensive for cameras above, whatever, let's $1,500 or the S5, everyone, maybe they don't know. It's like, starts at $2,000 just for the camera body.
Right.
I'm like, well, we don't have a lens, so you got to go there. But luckily, this one comes with a kit, you know, quote unquote kit lens. It's just whatever comes with the. Usually, they're cheaper cameras, but this one had really good reviews, so I said, okay, we'll get this.
Right.
And you know, as what we do, I'm not gonna carry around a bunch of prime lenses. We're not on a movie shoot, you know. I'm not gonna.
Right. Exactly.
You need a kind of kit style or zoom lens. Get you a nice wide angle and a decent zoom. 60 millimeter plus. So it came with it, luckily, for another $300. But then you got to buy an extra battery and really nice SD cards, because the normal ones are too slow. Like they won't write and read quick enough. And man, it just adds up. But
yeah,
you go, oh, well, this is what we need.
And thank you so much to the patrons.
Yes.
On Patreon, because the patrons on Patreon have paid for the camera.
Mm-hmm.
All but like a couple $100, which we're happy to split.
right. I mean, that's still a huge amount of money, obviously. Yeah. Just like when we first started the channel, it was a big buy for me to buy the Nikon, which at the time was $350. And that's still a lot of money. I'd still have to think about it if it was coming out of just my normal spending money. But
right.
Yeah. Thanks, patrons.
Yeah, when we have the support of the patrons and the viewers, and it's just nice to have that, you know, have that there and have it accessible, and the fact that people are willing to support us, you know, and it's exactly what we said we were going to do with the money. You know, it's like,
yeah, right.
We want to build the channel, and we want to do better videos, and that's why we want to start a Patreon, because people want to support us, and so here's the avenue to support us, and we're going to put it back into the channel.
Yeah, there's a lot of gear and tools and equipment we want that we're just going to keep trying to buy up. And yeah, videos won't be much different. There'll be the option to watch them in 4K if you want.
I like it. I had this thought the other day, and I've heard a lot of bigger YouTubers say this, that you get to a certain point and then you get like, you know, you have to move out of your small shop into a big shop, or you go from cutting out your tools with an angle grinder, and then you cut out your blanks with the belts, a bandsaw, and then you're cutting your blanks out with a laser cutter. Or you're like moving up and up, and I've heard other YouTubers say this, that they'll get comments, be like, oh, I used to love it when you were back in the small shop, now you've like sold out and you got all these big tools and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, I mean, as we progress through what we do. We want to do the next coolest, better thing. Like, we all want to do that.
Yeah.
But also, there's a progression of us as YouTubers, as makers, right? The viewers are watching us learn and grow and make new things and make better things.
Right.
So if we just kept on making everything with the same tools, there wouldn't be that progression, that growth that people want to see.
Yeah.
So,
we're constantly trying to think about, and this is what we can discuss next here towards the end of the podcast. I guess it was supposed to be the theme, but we kept going on about who knows what, about James God and the meaning of life. And
yeah, right.
what we're trying to do, go forward in 2021, we're trying to do, like I said, with the camera, that's what I'm up to.
Right.
Trying to get this camera, trying to figure it out. It's definitely a learning curve, but that's the great thing about YouTube, folks. I just go on and watch what these people, they go down like menu and setting by setting. And discuss why they have things set this way.
Right.
And there's a lot of things I wouldn't have had thought of turning off or on, but they go through it real, real concise and show you what their setup is. It's great. So I've been doing that. I spent a couple hours last night trying to figure out just the menu system and what I wanted to start with before we even started shooting. And the cool thing about these more expensive cameras, you can map out what you want buttons to do. So I'm trying to figure out, there's a lot of shortcut buttons that I could hit right away, and it could either switch it to slow-mo or switch to a color profile or show certain things, zoom in so I can get the
focus.
Get the focus without actually zooming in. Like, you'll do a digital zoom in the middle of the screen. Whoa. There's a button for a digital level that shows it right there, like in the body.
Oh, man.
So it comes up on the screen. It shows you if you're off level at all. All this crazy stuff, so I've been trying to map it.
Yeah. You're like super, you're like all ready to geek out on this new camera. That's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. And you sent me the message last year, like, this thing feels heavy. It feels like good quality, and it is good quality. I'm so excited.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, it definitely feels expensive. I guess it's a good thing.
Yeah, right. I know, exactly.
I'll be afraid
you get it and it feels cheap. You're like, oh, man.
Right.
It's got to feel, it's got to feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anything else? Anything else pressing in your life that's happened?
No, not necessarily. That's the main thing that's been going on. You?
Well, I have been working on a few different projects. one thing that I made and finished was a shelf for a coat hanger shelf. So there's a flat piece of wood against the wall, which has the coat hooks on it, and then there's a shelf above it, so you can put things up on top. So my wife, if you guys watched our video, we made the forged hooks for the shelf that I have, the coat rack for our bedroom. And so I wanted to make one for my wife as well. And so, I kind of reached out to Devin. I was like, hey, you think we should wait this, hold off on this, or try to do it for a video? I want to kind of get it done. And we're like, I'll go ahead and do it. So I made that, and that was fun because I got to bring my daughter down to the shop with me, and she got to use the hand plane and kind of gave her it was really impressed. I was impressed how quickly she picked up how best to use it. At first she's kind of skipping around and couldn't really hold it right, but then she got it really good. It was like, surface planing, like scrub planing, as well as end planing and stuff. She was doing a good job.
I think the hand plane is such a really nice, sometimes tools, when you use them right, they feel right.
Yeah.
Right? If it's skipping or it's doing something or it's too hard to push, that's a great thing about it, though. Once it feels easy.
Yeah.
So I think it's a quick thing to learn.
Right, yeah.
Because the second you feel it going smoothly and you feel you're not fighting it, then you go, this is it.
Yeah, right. You're like, that's what it's supposed to feel like. And then you make little adjustments, and then you're like, okay. I kind of told her about the adjustment wheel for bringing the blade in and out. So she was kind of making little adjustments. I'd see her going, and it'd be a little hard, so she'd kind of bring the blade back one or two turns and hit it again. And
right. I think, cool. A great tool should, I think it depends, but once it feels comfortable, it's doing its job the best.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great thing about hand tools and things, that they're connected to your hands, right? So it's about how your body is connected to this tool and how it's working. If it's working well, you can feel it through your body. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, you feel it that way too. You're struggling with it. So that was fun. So we built that shelf and hung that up, and I got a couple pictures and posted them on Instagram. I also started working on a chef's knife that I had cut out of blank a while back. I made one chef's knife so far, actually, I guess one chef's knife and one other kind of sushi knife. But I cut out a blank a while back, and I made it, cut it out from a leaf spring from a Jeep Cherokee that my brother used to have. So I cut that out a while back and kind of ground in the initial 45s on the edge to center the center line. And I put in an end 45 at the end of the handle to do a tapered tang as well on the handle. And it's just going to be sitting in my shop for 6 months or so, you know, waiting for its time. So I started grinding that yesterday. I'm super happy. Just did like full flat grinds, using my Bill Banky file guide, and put in the main grinds and put in the taper tang. So it's ready to be heat treated. I'm like super excited to get it going. It's really nice because it's going to have, like I said, it'll have a tapered tang. So it's going to be fat, in the handle at the ricasso area, the handle, it'll taper all the way to the end of the handle and the tang inside the handle. And then there'll be a distal taper from the heel, basically, or where the handle meets the blade. It'll be the thickest on the spine, and it'll taper all the way out to the tip of the blade as well. So you'll have this like taper from the handle that where the handle meets the blade all the way to the tip of the blade, and from where the handle meets the blade back to the end of the handle. So it'll be tapering both directions. And so I'm super excited to kind of play with that for a while. I might have a little while to play with that because my wife found out yesterday evening that her coworker tested positive for Corona. And this is a girl that she works with at her job, and they work in the same room. They're probably, you know, 15 or 20 feet away at their desks, but they're interacting all the time. They use the same bathroom, the same supplies and things. So my wife went today and got tested because she has been interacting with her all week. The initial test came back negative. And that's the antibodies test. That's the quick one where they test you and they can test right away. Basically, they're testing to see if your body has developed the antibodies to fight the virus.
Right.
And so that came back negative, which is good. But it also is one of those things that is not commonly, but more commonly, a false positive or a false negative.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those. Even when people think they have it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
They're feeling terrible. They'll go in and they'll say no, and then they keep going back and forth. Yeah, it's tricky.
Yeah. So, so she had that. She got that test, but at the same time, she got the other test, which will be like a 3 to 4 day test, and that'll be the next one. So we're waiting. She doesn't have any symptoms or anything yet. Her coworker had kind of like a sore throat or a cough or so this week, but she has them all the time. My wife said she's always kind of, you know, snuffling and always kind of dealing with colds and stuff. So it wasn't like out of the ordinary.
Right.
So we're just waiting to hear back on that. Hopefully we'll dodge a bullet, but we may not. And, because of that, we've kind of put filming on hold because we don't want to spread the virus to Devin and his family if you do have that. So we'll know by the weekend. But then they also recommend a 2-week quarantine, a 14-day quarantine, because, you know, you just never know, you know, you could develop symptoms later. So,
right.
So we'll see. But during that time, I'll definitely try to do a live stream.
Yeah.
We'll get some more content out and
we got the Chinese sewing machine, and we'll do some other stuff, and maybe a couple videos. Right. Yeah, so.
And I'll keep posting on Instagram. I've got, you know, the chef's knife that I'm working on, and keep on working on that. So,
fun.
Well, and one more thing that I did this week that we did.
Jeez.
Was that we ordered our play button, our 100,000 subscriber play button.
Yeah, that's right.
So, that should be here in the next week or week and a half or so, and then maybe
that'll be our first video. Who knows?
First video of 2021.
Yeah. And we're thinking, I don't think we'll just do an unboxing of it. We might just have it. A lot of people know that. People know what it looks like, but we'll do some type of interesting video, maybe making it shop proof or something, doing a frame for it and make it look cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I hope Nicole doesn't have it. I hope her co-workers are all right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Me too. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's obviously my wife and I are both healthy, you know, relatively young, healthy people. And our daughter is 11 years old and strong and tall. And so, you know, we're definitely the demographic of people who can get through it fairly easily, but you never know. So,
you never know.
But yeah, that, you know, so far good news that she tested negative for the initial antibody test, which is good.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So some, maybe we could just do a list of future projects here towards the end. Some things we want to do. And then if you guys think of something or want to email us, we're at theartofcraftsmanship@gmail.com right now.
Yep.
Or you can DM us on Instagram. Dust, you want to take it away with some projects we're thinking about?
So the first project I want to talk about actually is one that you suggested, and I was blown away. It was a damn good idea. And I don't say that lightly, because I love I love that phrase, damn good.
It's a damn good
idea. When I was in high school, I worked at Target. I worked in the back room, like stocking shelves and unloading trucks and stuff, and then restocking shelves out on the floor. I love that job. That was so much fun. it's like, yeah, there's like the back room people, and then there's the floor people.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You know, there's this different group of people. And I worked the floor as well occasionally. You know, they needed me to work in an area.
Yeah, those people are always a little bit rougher, a little bit looser.
Exactly, right. Yeah, your shirts aren't tucked in, you know. Yeah. You get to wear the belt with the like the price gun on it and stuff, and you're walking around and it's
you
like
can
the Wild
bitch
West
at people if
there.
They ask you, hey, do you have this and stuff?
Right, exactly.
Can you look
you're
for
just,
it?
You're in the back, you know.
It says we have one. Can you like hang on? Fine.
Pulling drops and stuff. Right, exactly. Right. And I worked with a guy, I think I can't remember his name. I was thinking the other day that it was Devin, but it wasn't Devin. It was another guy that was a friend of his. That's name was Devin. I can't remember his name. But this one guy I worked with, he was a cool guy. He was a couple years older than me. This is when I was in high school, so he was probably right out of high school, maybe early college or something like that. And nice guy, you know, cool guy. I like, you know, he's kind of one of those guys. I'm like, oh, that's a cool guy. You know, I want to be friends with that guy. And he would say damn good when he really liked things. He'd be like, that's damn good. And I was like, I like that. You know, it's like another one of those terms. Yeah, I was like, I want to use that.
I'm
that's cool.
That. I'm using that.
So when I sent that to you the other day, I was like, told Nicole, I was like, look, I use damn good. It's a good one. So that idea was great. You know, so Devin sent me a message and was like, what if we do the idea of making a kukri out of a brush axe? And I just thought that was an awesome idea. Like, it hits on multiple topics. It hits on the, like, axe topic that people, like, we get. I think I get more requests to do more axe content than anything else.
Yeah.
And that's not saying that our axe videos do the best, but those are the ones that people are more vocal. You know, like, they're like, we want to see more axe content. But maybe that's also because I'm an axe junkie and I'm on, like, Facebook groups and stuff. And but, yeah, so I thought that was an awesome idea. So taking a brush axe, if you're not familiar with a brush axe, it's like kind of a big blade, kind of like a, I don't know, would you say almost like a, maybe 4 inches wide, maybe 12 or 14 inches tall with a long kind of shallow hook on the end.
Yeah. A hook or an angle, something that you could really sweep through, and it's attached to your handle by usually a couple,
two like straps.
Yeah. Steel straps. It's kind of a funky looking thing.
It is a funky looking thing. I'm torn, you know. It's one of those things, like, I love axes, and it's not an axe, even though it's called a brush axe. It's different. It doesn't hit the same thing for me.
Right.
It's not the same thing. So it's not something that I necessarily want to collect or have around, but every time I see them, it's got that wooden axe handle. It looks like an axe. So it draws me to it. You know, I'm like, ooh, what's that? And the same companies that make axes that I love, like Kelly and Collins and Plum, right, and Craftsman and so on and so forth, they've made brush axes as well. So I see that name and I see the stamp on there and I'm drawn to it. But I'm like torn, you know, because it's not an axe.
Yeah, you don't really have a good use for it.
Right, yeah. So when you suggested that, I was like, that's perfect. It's like absolutely perfect. Like it just hits all the things, right? It hits like modding an axe. It hits axe people. It hits knife people. It just, and it's like, what a great process. I haven't seen anyone mod a brush axe into something cool like that.
Well, we better hurry now because the cat's out of the bag. So yeah, maybe exactly. That'll be one of our first big 4K videos. Right. Maybe we can do that. Here we go.
So today is the 7th. If anyone sees a video of this come out between now and we put ours out, you know that we had the idea first.
That's right.
It's like, but Duress is going to do one. Essential Craftsman is going to do one.
Well, why are you stealing? You know, you can do your own ideas. You don't just have to copycat. So yeah, and the style of knife is kind of a curved style knife, and it's big. So I was thinking that, like, the just bar stock kind of steel that Dustin had wouldn't work. You can't get that angle unless you had a big sheet. And I was just thinking through what steel Dustin had, and I knew he didn't really like the brush axe. So I said that angle. Have you like tried to look at that angle, Dust? Do you know if it'll?
I haven't looked at it yet, but I'm sure it will work.
Yeah. Or we can at least get enough of an angle to
get the
style of it.
Yeah, it'll definitely work. And if I need to, like,
even if it's shrunk down a little bit.
Right. And I think, you know, I can also draw out a tang. So we could do like a hidden tang if it's, you know, if it's not long enough to do a full, you know, full tang around the handle. So I could definitely do that.
Yeah.
But that was a really good idea. So I'm excited about that. That'll definitely be one of the projects that we do in the near future. Nice. Yeah, I have a whole list of ideas here.
I mean, do you just kind of want to go through them quickly?
Sure.
Just run down?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so like in the realm of knife making, I want to make a leather stacked handle knife. We did that for the military knife, the M4, I think it was called. But I want to make, you know, kind of a Puco style handle. I think they look really beautiful, stacked handles, and do like a brass bolster and a brass pommel, you know, and then maybe a hidden tang knife, carving knife. Another knife I want to do is a chef's knife with a forced patina. One of the things that I really like forced patinas when people use them. So, you know, a way that you can do it, like a common way to do a forced patina is just to put a vinegar based something on your steel. So a lot of people will use mustard, like yellow mustard, or you can dip your steel in vinegar and it'll etch the outside because the vinegar etches the steel. So we can build up a pattern or build something and do a forced patina. I think that would be a really fun video. I haven't seen, I've been looking and they're all really crappy videos on forced patinas. So we could do something good with that. That'd be fun. And then also like a sanmai, like a chopper knife, like a big sanmai. So sanmai is when you take mild steel and you take a piece of hardened carbon steel, high carbon steel, and you sandwich it between two other pieces, right? So you get these three layers of steel. And so I had the idea of doing a sanmai. I think it's Neil Kamimura did a quick video on his Instagram of taking like angle iron, just regular angle iron, and heating it and then bending it around high carbon steel and making sanmai that easy. So I'm thinking maybe something like that would be fun, and then make like a big chopper knife or something, you know, like a big camp chopper. That'd be kind of cool. So that's kind of the main knife ideas that I've had. I want to do a half round file and turn that into a knife. That I've done that before and made a kind of sushi knife out of that with a single bevel. So that's another cool idea that I thought would be fun.
And before you go into axes and everything else, man, we need some short ideas. I mean, these are great ideas, but we need to come up with some quicker ideas because these are the videos that usually do the best, the ones that we spent weeks on. But oh my god, they take forever. But it's a slow process. That's our, you know, right, there's no speeding up the videos on our channel. It's just
right. Yeah, I will say slow that, things. Like, in 2019, we put out, I think, less videos than we put out in 2018, and channel still
did
growing.
We?
I think so. Maybe not. I don't know. I think so though.
Maybe.
Or I mean, not 19. I think in 2020 we put out less videos than we put out in 2019. I think we did more in 2019.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
Yeah. So Definitely. I mean, like I have two axes in my shop that I want to restore, and I think they'd both be fun because people like restoration videos, and these are both, you know, I can do the same video. I can restore an axe, and that's one thing, but, these are both kind of fun. I have my, my grandfather-in-law, and I think I might've told this story, but I found an axe in his shop, after searching multiple times, because I figured he's got this garage with tons of stuff in it, and I'm like, there's got to be an axe in here somewhere. And the last time I was down there, I actually finally found one, you know, like in between the shelf and where the fuse box is and stuff. Like, because I was overlooking the fuse box because we were trying to get their oven started up because it had shorted out or something, and I was over at the fuse box and I kind of peeked down. I see in between there's this little gap that might be maybe 3.5 inches wide. And back in there, there's a few tools leaning there. And sure enough, I look in the back and I see the palm swell of an axe handle. I'm like, oh, here we go. I reached back in and pulled it out. Yes, sir. So I had that axe I'd like to restore. So I think that's just a fun story, you know, and fun. Like, it's cool to restore something that belonged to my wife's grandfather.
Yeah.
And then I also have a Tommy axe, which is from Kelly. Tommy axe is a hatchet sized axe with a hammer end. So it has a flat end on the back with two hammer puller spikes or whatever they're called, you know, like the two points that come
down.
The
claw.
Yeah. Claw. Right. A claw hammer on the back. And it's completely different than any other claw hammer kind of hatchet that's ever been made. So I have one of those, and it has a really cool handle too. So the handle at the top where you would kind of choke up on it is octagonal, so it's faceted, you know, instead of being round. And then at the bottom, it's round. So it transitions between a faceted handle to a round handle. So it's really cool, and that's, I'm assuming, I'm pretty sure it's the original handle that's on it, but it's, you know, snapped. It's kind of cracked at the bottom, and there's a piece of the palm swell that's missing and stuff. So that would be fun to just, the head's in pretty good shape. I've already wire-wheeled it, so it would be kind of, I haven't sharpened it, so I'd be sharpening it and cleaning up a little bit of mushrooming left, so we'd kind of clean it up and then make the handle. I think that'd be fun wood and metal project.
Yeah. I have one. I want to do... Now, whether we can do it or not, if we get kicked out of the stores, and whether we can say the store's names, the search for a decent axe handle at big box, you know, home improvement stores. So go to Lowe's, go to Home Depot, go to Ace.
Right.
Maybe go to anything smaller than Ace, but we don't really want to embarrass like a local hardware store because they're probably barely hanging on anyway. So maybe we'll just do the big ones, Ace, Home Depot, Lowe's.
Yeah, even like Walmart in their kind of section sometimes.
Walmart.
They have.
Yeah, and we do that. We go into each place, and you just live. We go in and see if there's any acceptable handles.
Yeah.
And that'd be kind of cool.
Harder to find. Yeah.
I think that'd be cool. I like that. That'd be a good day shoot.
Yeah.
And we can knock it out, but it's also good, really good info in it. And it might not be fair if we can directly compare stores, because obviously a batch of handles can be different at any time.
Right, yeah, But
if we find that one store, like, 10% is good and the other 75% good, then maybe we'll say, okay, yeah, this one, they seem to care about, you know, the wood grain and things like that.
Right. And obviously, you know, it's not obviously, but the store is buying from a company, right? So it's like, what company are they buying from, and how what's the quality of that company?
Right.
Obviously that store is, different stores use different companies because that's their thing, right? You know, Lowe's is going to use one company to supply their whatevers, and then Home Depot is going to use a different company to supply their whatevers just because, you know, they can do that.
So even if it doesn't come out with Home Depot's better than Lowe's, or Ace is better because it's smaller, it might not be that, but at least we're giving the tips. I mean, we have the what to look for or hanging axe video, but this would be a good one. Like, if you actually just want to go into a store and look and get a good info with that.
Yeah, right on. I like that one. I have one here as well, like just another custom axe handle. I think that's always kind of fun, and it's good to do. I like woodworking occasionally, doing like different woodworking stuff. And another video that I've thought about and I want to talk about a little bit now is a collaboration with our buddy Sean over at the Crafting a Life I Want channel on YouTube, he had the idea of kind of doing an axe modification video to modify a kind of a common full size axe head down to the shape and size and weight of a throwing axe. Mm-hmm. Or a throwing hatchet. And just because like so many people are really into axe throwing, you know, all the axe throwing leagues and all the bars and stuff are kind of popping up everywhere and really still going well.
That's true. That's a good idea.
So yeah, that would be a really cool idea. So, and it would be a collaboration, cause we'd both do it on our own channels, and then we would, we'd get together at the end and test out our axes and stuff, you know, just to.
Right. So it could be a straight making a throwing axe.
Right.
And then at the end we have the. Now we're, and we could talk about during it, and now we have this.
Right.
We're going to meet up and go check his out, check ours out. Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be fun. And, you know, we can maybe get a couple more people together and have different people test it as well. Let us know what they think. Because obviously, you know, it's like they're both going to end up being relatively the right weight, and they should kind of both stick about the same way. You know, there's, I guess that's where we can make kind of some of those modifications to make it work well. Right.
Right. So, and, you know, it's, last time we had booze and throwing axes, the video did well. That's our biggest video. So
yes, it did.
Looks like we got to get some people together and drink and throw some stuff.
Right. Yeah. So
it's funny. Yeah. The people who poo-poo on that. I get it. But we wouldn't invite you to our party where we drank and threw axes anyway.
Right. Exactly.
You would not be the person we'd invite. So
Jason Momoa drinks and throws axes, but I'll tell you, he's not getting invited to my party because my wife might leave with him. She's like, Jason Momoa.
Well, that that's, you know, cool, that's that, I think that's fair play. It's like, come on.
Yeah. Right.
All right. No, you're right. Go on.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
He's beautiful.
Be like, all right. Where's you know? I don't know. Figure out my girl.
Who's your girl? You like Kirsten Dunst.
We'll invite her, and we'll invite Jason Momoa. And what happens?
Oh, well, man, Kirsten didn't show up. She's like, oh, sorry. My guy did.
Yeah, right. Sorry. Yeah, damn. Yeah, so. And another thing that I'd like to do this year, which will, you know, may or may not make it into a video, is actually to build like a lean-to outside of the back of my house next to the entrance into the shop. So I can actually put the blacksmithing stuff outside so we can smith outside and have it undercover because, you know.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
That stuff. Yeah. And, you know, definitely. I mean, I think I'd start kind of collecting and gathering wood and stuff. And I like my father, I'm a collector of free things when available. So the more free things we can get to put together and collect wood and get, you know, scrap stuff here and there and start looking around and get enough wood to be able to build a lean-to, just something with a roof, you know, that will protect it a little bit.
You just have to pay for some hardware in your, I told you, and that's still, my in-laws have some of that siding and and metal, some of that aluminum siding that you could.
Oh, that would be perfect.
I think they still have it. I can check, but that's good stuff. They have that on their pole barn.
Right. Yeah. No, that'd be great. I think at the time when you first mentioned that, you know, I didn't have it in my mind to build something like this. And now I think, you know, it would be fairly easy and really useful.
And they're long. So they're really long, but all you'd have to do is we could go up there one day and, you know, take your truck and we'll cut some of them, but just throw them in the back and.
Yeah. Right.
Free 99.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, that, and then, you know, along with that, to do some more forging and blacksmithing videos, you know, whether that's like knife making or parts of other videos, or, you know, making like how to make tongs and how to make spoons and, you know, blacksmith knives, things like that.
And too, we want to, I mean, from the beginning we've wanted to do this, but go take trips.
Yeah.
Go places, meet other makers. Or do camping trips and outside. We were talking about maybe doing one this winter.
Yeah.
I guess that's one of the few travel trips we can do right now is just go out by ourselves and maybe do a little overnight backpacking trip or something. And we haven't really talked about it much, but you could try to build something or just camp and do a few little things and bring all your gear that you'd normally bring.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and that's, I mentioned that to my wife and daughter, and my wife was like, oh, she's like so excited. She's like, that'll be so much fun. We should all do it together. And I was like, yeah, that's great. You know, like we had the axe handle trying video where I was out in the woods with Corinne And I think people love that about that video, you know, that it's me out there with my daughter and kind of passing that stuff. So having like kind of a family outing and going out and just, you know, like you said, just doing stuff and hanging out and talking and doing bushcrafty stuff and starting fires and cooking food. And yeah, it'd be fun. And that's another one of those things that I get often. People ask about like doing more bushcraft outdoor stuff. Like, you should go out and like, you know, show us like whatever, using like, you know, take the axes out and take the knives out and use them and show those things as well.
It'd be fun. Yeah, that'd be fun. We can maybe January or January, February, March.
Yeah, it's a great one. You're getting my wife's mind into spending money. She's like, oh, I have to get a new sleeping bag. Maybe we'll get one of those big family quilts and stuff. I'm like, oh, here we go. But we do love backpacking and camping, so it's obviously not like it would go to waste. I have more ideas because there's always things pop into my head. I actually specifically bought a sketchbook, just straight up for ideas. I want to end on one idea. So the last one that I want to talk about, and I was pretty pumped when I came up with this idea.
Let's hear.
So I was walking out of my shop and I saw did I tell you about the sledgehammer axe last week? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So walking out of my shop and now on the entryway and in and out of the shop of the steps on the side, I have, just a rack that holds a bunch of tools and things. A rack, like, sledgehammers and rakes and, you know, normal outdoor stuff, shovels. And I got one of my boys' axes out there as well, so I can grab it nice and easily, a couple saws and things undercover, but inside, you know, in that transition area. And on the ground there, as well, I have a sledgehammer head. It might be like a 7 pound, 6 pound, 7 pound, something like that. And maybe bigger, maybe 10. And as I was walking by it, this idea popped in my head for a video or to make something. So what I was thinking is I could, the sledgehammer has an equal amount of metal on both sides of the eye, right? And the eye is kind of small, not compared to an axe head. It's small, you know, it might be an inch and a half or so, in the long way. And then maybe an inch the short way. So I thought, what if I cut one side of the head off? So not like straight down the middle, but past the eye. So maybe leave, you know, an inch or so past the eye and cut off what's left. So then I have a sledgehammer that's one-sided, right? So it's got the eye and then it's one-sided like an axe. I can take that chunk that I cut off and forge that into a drift to be able to make the eye bigger on the sledgehammer. And then once I forge that drift, then I can use that drift to drift the eye out larger on the sledgehammer and then shape the rest of the sledgehammer into an axe. That I was super pumped about. So now the biggest deterrent from doing this is that that's a lot of metal. That's a big mass of metal, and moving that much metal is tough unless you have a hydraulic press or a power hammer, which obviously I don't have.
Right.
What I do have though is other men in my life that would be happy to probably come over and swing another big sledgehammer and be my, you know, like my hammer person.
Right. Right.
And we can work on it together. So that, I think that would be fun. And that might be something that might be interesting to do. Like a two-person video, you know, with someone else helping out on that. So we'll see, but I've never seen anyone do anything like that. I've seen lots of people do a kind of convert smaller hammers and things into hatchets and do different stuff, but I thought that'd be fun. Why not take this one big chunk of steel, use a chunk of it, shape that chunk, forge that into a drift for the axe eye, and then use that to drift through to make that eye bigger to make an axe out of the rest of it. That'd be cool. And that's one of those things, like, you know, if you want to get into axe making, you need a drift to be able to punch a hole through steel to make that shape of the eye. That's the biggest part. If you don't have that, then you're left with folded axes, which is another idea. Taking the steel and folding it around and putting the shape you want. So.
No, that is cool.
Yeah, I thought that'd be really cool. And it just like popped into my head. And so I like wrote it down one day and then I drew out kind of a little draft of what I think it would look like and how it would work. so I wouldn't forget. And those are things that make it into my sketchbook. I'm excited to kind of keep adding onto the sketchbook. And whenever I put drawings and things in, I'll like write down the date that I thought of them. And and I have a list in the front with just ideas. If it's something that I just want to write down instead of having to like draw it out, because it's fairly simple, just an idea for a video, I'll write it down, put the date next to it. So,
well, those might have track. To those might have to be our first couple videos then. All our good idea ones that we just put out into the world.
I know, right? Yeah.
So we'll knock them out first. Yeah, it's so silly when people are like, oh, I saw this. You're just copying videos. Like, really not. I mean, maybe we are definitely doing a video that someone else has gone over because it's YouTube and there's millions of videos. So, yeah, someone else has done it. But we're not searching for, we're not going to like X trending feed and looking for whatever the big guy does.
Because
unless we really want to do it and say, oh, that's cool, then we'll do it. But we're not trying to copy anyone. And it's not even worth it because whatever wave they caught is gone by the time you try to jump on your surfboard. Right.
Exactly.
They've surfed that wave. They've surfed those views.
Yeah.
And if you try to copy it, that's done.
Right. And I think, you know, that also is pretty evident. To me, it would be pretty evident in the video that it's something that I'm not super interested in. Right. Everything that I do in the video is something that I come up with an idea because I'm like, oh, that would be cool. I think that would be great. And I'm excited about doing it.
Right.
You know, and I come off as obviously pretty like relaxed and calm in the videos, but you can see that I'm excited about the creation of this thing and I'm excited about having it turn out a certain way and look a certain way and feel good and work well. And, you know, I think that excitement comes across and just following other people's trends.
I will say that's one thing we have to capture a little bit more sometimes, Dust. If we're recording something, you explain it well and then we cut. And then you go, oh, man, this is great. Look at this, this, and that. I'm like, wait, hang on. Say that again. You'll show more excitement off camera with it. And we got to capture that. That's what we'll do in 2021. We'll capture all the excitement of every project.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I know. It's because then I'm like talking to you about it. I'm like, check this out.
Yeah,
super
cool.
Yeah.
Before you're trying to think of how to wrap whatever up you're talking about. And then you get off and you really start looking at it and checking it out. And then, you ramp it up a little bit more.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, I agree. I think I think there's definitely a time and a place to be like super excited about stuff. It might not be in all the videos all the time, but there's definitely times in all of the videos that there might be some spot right that like I'm excited. It's gotta come across in the videos.
Yeah, we've gotten a good few of those.
Yeah. Right. And you know, usually when you're like, oh, you gotta do that again, you know, show me that excitement again. I'm like, okay. And I can usually pull it back up because I am still excited about it.
Right. You just kind of say the same thing again.
Right.
But everyone's all like, oh, dude, say what you just said. That was good.
Blah, blah, blah. All right. Well,
recommendations.
Yeah. I have a recommendation. Have you, you thought of one yet?
No, I'll say I don't have one. I was going to just pull something out of my arse, but, yeah. I don't know. I don't have anything specific, so we'll do it most podcasts, but every once in a while, you know, if I don't have something that's somewhat related, I'm just not going to.
Yeah.
I've been busy. Right. I haven't been looking at a bunch of new stuff.
They can look into the camera. You know, I know you're excited about that. What is it again? The Panasonic?
Panasonic Lumix S5.
Yeah. Excited and the mystery book about someone living in a cabin somewhere.
Yeah, that's my recommendation. So, a book with a man in a cabin. So
Walden,
read that and tell me who it was.
Respond to who it is and then you'll be good. My recommendation this week is Matt Cremona is a woodworker on YouTube, he's done a ton of woodworking projects, but one of the thing that I like to watch the most when he does this on his videos is he has a bandsaw mill, a large bandsaw mill that can cut, you know, logs up to, I would say, maybe 60 inches, 70 inches, you know, so almost up to 6 feet across.
That's so cool.
It has this huge, huge bandsaw. And it's one that he built. And so he'll cut slabs. He does, you know, he cuts these big, trees down, slabs them down, and then what he does, so he cuts them, you know, and you're watching it, and he shows the blade going through and the dust flying, and he cut it, and then he'll slide the wood off, you know, the top piece or whatever, he'll move it off, and then and he'll take a bucket of water and he'll like throw it up in the air and he'll splash the surface of the wood. So then all the sawdust gets brushed off and all the grain just like pops. It is so satisfying. And the other day, I think this was a couple days ago, I was watching one of his videos. This is maybe the day before Christmas or something like that. Maybe a day after, whatever. But I'm watching it, and he has this video. He's cutting up some walnut and some cherry. Not huge logs, but, you know, smaller ones, but just, like, you know, cutting them up with a friend of his and pulling it, and he keeps splashing it, and I'm watching it, and I'm just sitting there smiling, and my wife, Nicole, kind of walks by. She's like, "What are you watching?" So I'm watching, you know, Matt Cremona. He's just kind of sawing down these logs and stuff. And so he cuts them up, and, you know, he'll cut it up on the saw, and then he'll slide it off, and he'll splash it with water so he can see the grain. And then he'll just do it over and over again, all the way through a log. She's like, "Oh, so you're watching wood porn." Like, yep. That's what I'm watching. I'm watching wood porn. Just like slowly taking layers off and just exposing the wood inside.
Well, baby.
Exactly. I know. I was like, man, that's 100% true.
Let me see the grain.
I commented that on his, on Matt's video, and he like just put like three like laughing faces and highlighted the comment. But yeah, that's what I always say. You're watching wood porn. But
yeah,
I recommend it to anyone who likes the beauty of wood, which I think almost everyone does. And Matt's just, he's really fun because he like giggles a lot in his videos. He's always he like laughing at himself and laughing at his comments and stuff. And he just seems like a good guy and fun to watch. And they're just, they're right to the point. And every time you just see that, whew, that splash of water, grain pop, it's good every time.
So yeah, if you're feeling a little randy tonight,
yeah, go check out folks. Matt Cremona, sawmilling, whatever he's got, all sorts of big logs, small logs, size doesn't matter in Matt's world.
Still get the splash at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, here we go.
Hey now.
Hey. All right. Cool. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
You know, each week we kind of like, we talk a little bit about what we want to talk about in the podcast, and things come and go. And, you know, we said it'd be fun to talk about plans for 2021, what our plans were. And we did get a little bit into that, and, you know, but the conversations always go where they want to go. And we kind of had that conversation beforehand. We're like, well, let's try to talk about this and this. Well, but we'll just talk as it goes. So
yeah,
it was fun.
Hopefully we get a bunch more guests on the podcast this year. That's what we're going to try to do for the podcast.
Yes.
Some big name folks, some cool folks. We'll have a bunch of people on, and we're going to try our best.
Yeah. And just kind of keep reaching out to people and bring some people on who are interesting to talk to, who are other makers and other crafters and creators, and then also just people we know and people we enjoy what they do.
Yeah.
And just fun to have conversations with. I think that's part of the great thing about doing a podcast. And that's also one of the great things about being in a podcast network like the Makery Network, where there are a lot of really awesome makers who do cool things, and bring on all these people that you wouldn't necessarily normally get to have a deeper conversation with. You might see them topically like in YouTube or something, but you don't necessarily get a little bit behind the scenes. So it's nice to do that and be able to offer that to the listeners, and also be in a network of other podcasters who really appreciate that and do fun stuff too. So, we really appreciate being in the Makery Network. And if you should go check out all the other podcasts in the Makery Network. There's some really good work there. People doing really cool stuff and putting some time and energy into putting out quality listening material for you to listen to in your shops while you're making things, while you're driving, wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts.
That's right.
If you guys want to follow us or find us on YouTube, we are The Art of Craftsmanship on YouTube, as well as The Art of Craftsmanship on Patreon. If you want to support us there, obviously that money's going right back into the channel. We got our new camera.
That's right.
And you can also find and follow us on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship. Otherwise, we're here on the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. It's been fun. We're going into 2021, our second year as a podcast, and we're excited to bring you guys some new and exciting stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you guys all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
If you like this show, take a look at our other shows made for makers just like you at www.makery.network.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.